In the book of James, we've been talking about, of course, our faith. Our faith obeys the Word of God. Our faith removes partiality. Faith also provides fruit in our life. We talked about that last week, the fruit through our faith. Well, today we have a kind of unusual subject, but, you know, when you go chapter by chapter, you have to study what God has for us. And so today we're going to talk about the most dangerous weapon in the world. The most dangerous weapon in the world. You know, the wind is powerful, is it not? We have seen wind destroy things. It's an amazing thing to me how wind can come in and down in a community somewhere and it wipes out everything. I mean, there's nothing there completely. And where did it go? It ain't in the woods. It's just gone, you know? The wind is a powerful thing, and it can destroy. Also, we know that water is a powerful thing, too, is it not? Water can wash a mountain down to the valleys and destroy homes. Water is very, very powerful. And I learned the hard way, when it rains real hard, you don't drive through water because it can be powerful to you. And also fire. We read every day and hear every day on the news, especially out in California, where wildfires are going all the time, destroying hundreds and thousands of acres of land. Fire is very destructive. Wind is, and water is. I'm telling you today, there's something more dangerous than they are. The most dangerous weapon in the world, we find here in the book of James, we'll talk about it, is the tongue of man. We see the tongue here. What is the tongue? It's a muscle inside your mouth. It has muscles and it's supplied with blood and also many nerves. We see also the tongue is oblong in shape. We see the tongue is covered with a layer of tissue, connective tissue in our mouth. We also see that above this layer is another special layer in our mouth. It's a membrane and makes out the surface of the tongue. So the tongue is uniquely made. We know the root of the tongue is firmly attached to the floor of the mouth. We also know that other parts are movable freely. The root is there, but the tongue moves freely by itself. We also know that there's a strip of tissue connected underneath on the backside of the tongue to connect it to the floor of the mouth. Therefore, it's fashioned that way. Muscles and ligaments also connect the tongue to a bone that's in the upper part of the throat and also to the voice box. So the tongue in our mouth, the tongue is vital. How do we use the tongue? It's for chewing. It's for swallowing. Okay? And it's also for speech, for speaking. So we see the tongue is very important. It's also a very sensitive organ responsible for tasting. And also, we see our tasting is sweet, sour, salty, and bitter. We have all those tastes. Aren't you glad you can taste? Aren't you glad you have your tongue to make you be able to taste food and taste things in our life? And sometimes that's special. We also see the tongue is the most sensible place for our sense of touch. It's very, very sensitive to touch. It's probably the most sensitive thing in our body, that is our tongue. We also see that God in His Word talks about the tongue here through James. We're going to see here, faith controls the tongue. Our faith should control the tongue. Now, we know that the tongue, our faith is not tested by, our tongue is not tested by the chemistry of our tongue, but our faith is tested by the theology of our tongue. What comes from our tongue? What do we say? What do we say is very, very important. We also see today that the tongue is likened to us a badge. Many people work in places that have to wear a tag to identify themselves, do they not? Who they are. Especially when you're in a large corporation or whatever, you have a badge. But the Christian has a badge, and that badge is our tongue. Our tongue is likened to a badge, which you and I wear. We also see that it identifies us. Our tongue identifies us when we speak. Our tongue also we see, is the index of our whole self. It's the table of contents. In other words, it identifies us completely from head to toe, who we really are. We also see that our tongue gives us away. Have you ever said something and wish you hadn't said it? Wish you could take it back? Well, we all do that sometimes, do we not? But our tongue will literally give us away. It tells us who we are. It tells us who we are. It tells others who we are. It also tells us where we come from. And it should tell us whether we're Christian or not. Our tongue is very, very important, we see. And we'll thank God today that James has given us some instructions about the tongue. In James chapter 3, the key word is the tongue. The tongue of man. In this passage, we see here that James is trying to enforce to us the teachings of discipline our tongue, controlling our tongue. We see here he used illustrations to try to help us with that. He talks about the horse and the bit. We talk about the ship and the helm. Also talks about the fire and the wood, the fountain and the water, and the tree and the fruit as illustrations of our tongue. We see also the size of the tongue does not measure the importance of the tongue. The size does not measure the importance of the tongue. We see also that James reveals here the inconsistency revealing to us by the tongue, for we both bless God, and sometimes we curse men from our tongue. We also see it cannot be controlled by man. It's impossible for you and I sometimes to control our tongue. We also see, not only that, man needs a master. Man needs a master, and of course the Lord Jesus Christ should be the master. And he can help us manage this very powerful thing in our body called the tongue. We also see that in this matter of the use of the tongue, Christ is our perfect example. I want you to turn back, first of all, turn over a couple pages to 1 Peter and chapter number 2. Jesus is our perfect example. Paul read about his Christ had died for us, and truly that is certainly our example. But also, when it comes to the matter of our speech, God, Jesus Christ himself, was our pattern. 1 Peter chapter 2, look at verse 18. 1 Peter 2, 18. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the forward. For this is thankworthy if a man, for conscience towards God, endure great suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it, if when ye be buffeted for your faith, you shall take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us. Notice, leaving us an what? Example that we should follow his steps. Notice verse 22. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his what? His mouth. Neither was guile found in the mouth. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For you were as sheep going astray, but are now returning to the shepherd and bishop of your soul. Jesus, all he went through, he revived not, neither was guile found in his mouth. What an example he is for us today. If we would just take heed to him and what he's done for us. Let us remember that we may use our tongue to bless God. We may use our tongue to bless God. Now, back in chapter 3 of James, look at something here. First of all, verse number 1. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. Now, the word masters here means teacher or instructor here. James is trying to say here, there's not many going to be teachers, okay? There's not going to be many instructors in the Word of God. The Word of God, as we are given the opportunity to instruct the Word of God, to teach the Word of God, We see here that the teachers are under a special obligation when we present the Word of God. It's a big responsibility to teach the Word of God. It's an awesome responsibility because we know, first of all, that we are accountable to everything we say. And everything we say, first of all, we should ensure that we teach the truth. We must teach the truth as teachers. Now, the best way to teach the truth is to teach the Bible. Amen? Stay in the Bible. Teach what the Bible says. But we are to be ensured that everything we teach is true. It's true. Not only should a teacher be sure that everything they teach is true, but a teacher also must realize that he must practice what he teaches. Practice what we teach. If I don't practice what I teach, it's not going to affect anybody in a positive way. So we need to realize this, that a teacher's position is very, very important. And very, very accountability we have to give to God. See, teachers will be held accountable for what we teach. Every word we say, we're accountable for it. And that's an awesome thing to think about it when you stand in front of people and try to teach the Word of God. We also say teachers are necessary. God has ordained that there be teachers, pastors, and all these things that the people might learn the Word of God. Teachers are necessary. I'm thankful for the teachers that I've had in my life growing up that taught me the Word of God. They were godly people. They taught the truth. And because of that, you know, hopefully I've learned something, you see. But teachers are necessary. So first of all, James laid the foundation here about teachers and the importance of it. And why we're so accountable for what we teach when we teach. Now, let's notice verse number 3. Let's notice here a word about the tongue. A word about the tongue. Beginning verse number 2, for many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. James is saying here about the word, here is a standard. God is laying down a standard in verse number 2. He says, in many things we offend all. Okay, that is true. But if any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man. A perfect man, and notice he says, able to bridle the whole body. Control the whole body. You see, when we see here the standard that God gives us, everything that Jesus said was wise, loving, kind, and true. All that he said was those ways. And God wants us to be that way also. So we see here is a word about the tongue. We also see in verses 4 on down, we see some illustrations that James gives us concerning the tongue. Concerning the tongue. You see, the unbridled tongue, if you please. In verse number 3, behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Anybody in here put a bridle on a horse? Anybody? A few have. I'm thankful I never had that opportunity. I saw my dad do it, but I never had that opportunity. When I was coming along, by the time I got big enough to do anything, they had tractors. Thank God for that. Amen? But putting a bridle on a horse is a good job. But it's amazing to me how that little thing can control that big animal. But he can, because it's very, very, it's the way God designed it, you see. But the bridle here, we see, first of all, we put bits in horses' mouths to control them. A big 800-pound, 1,000-pound horse can be controlled by a little bridle. A little bridle. That's amazing, is it not? It really is. We also see not only the horse, but we also see in verse number 4, behold also the ships, which though they be so great, are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. A helm is like a wheel. It's like a little wheel in that big ship that guides that ship where they want to go. Even though the winds are blowing, the ship may be tossed to and fro, but yet somebody has control right there with that little helm when they have that. So we see the unbridled tongue, illustration of the tongue here from nature, that is horse, and also from navigation, the ship, he gives us that. The tongue is a dangerous thing. Look at verse number 5. The tongue is as dangerous as fire. Verse 5, even so, the tongue is a little member. The tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. A little fire kindleth. The tongue, you know, it only takes a spark to get a fire going, doesn't it? And the tongue, we see here, the tongue is a dangerous, it is as dangerous as a fire. In verse number 6, look at it. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. We see here, the tongue is fire, the tongue is poisonous. The tongue affects the whole body, the whole body. And we had to be careful with our tongue. The tongue can affect the whole body. You know, I was raised in a small town called Kinley, and we were blessed, so we have four doctors in that little town. Two on this corner, and then about another block down, two more doctors. And I recall myself going to the doctor as a young boy, 8 or 10 year old, when I was sick. And you know, when you went to the doctor back then, you didn't have appointments. You just go in, they take your name down, and when your name come up, they called you, and you went back to see the doctor. You know. But anyway, when I go to the doctor, I was sick. Didn't matter what was wrong with me. I went to the doctor's socks. We call him the shot doctor. He believed in shots. And I'm thankful he did. But anyway, we go into the doctor, and he was sitting here at his desk. You come in, he sets you down right here beside him. He'll say, what's wrong with you? How you feeling? Okay, he asked a few questions, you know. And the next thing he did, he reached up on his desk. He got a great old big flashlight. On the other hand, he reached in at a glass jar, and he got a great big stick. It looked like a popsicle stick, but it was longer and wider. And you know what he did? He said, son, open your mouth. He take that flashlight, he look in your mouth, he take that stick, and he put it on your tongue and mash it down, look around that tongue. You know why he did that? He's trying to find out what's wrong with me. You know, most of the time it works too. It works, you see. Our tongue affects our whole body. Our whole body. And we see here that the tongue here, no man can tame. The human tongue can only be controlled by God's resources that he gives us. And that's the Holy Spirit that lives within us, you see here. So certain things can only be controlled with outside help. Certain things can be controlled by outside help. And we see here, this is the tongue, you see. Now, also we see other illustrations here. Again, there are many things that can be controlled by man. A horse can. Okay, a ship can, and sometimes even wild creatures can be controlled by man, you know, by means they have today. But the tongue cannot be controlled by man. It's very powerful. Verse number 5 tells us the tongue is a powerful thing in us. The tongue is. We also see it is affected by hell in verse number 6. It's unruly and very poisonous. Look in verse number 7. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. The tongue is a dangerous thing. The tongue cannot be controlled by man. We need help to control our tongue. We really do. The tongue should be controlled. In verse number 2, James says, for in many things we offend all. You know, we don't like to offend people, do we? None of us should. He said, but in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same as the perfect man, and able to bridle his whole body. Control your body. The way to control your body is to control your tongue. You control your tongue, you control your body. That's what James is saying here, you see. The tongue should be controlled. It affects the whole body. The whole body is affected by the tongue. Also, we find in verse number 9, the tongue is to be a blessing. It is to be a blessing. We have it to be a blessing. Verse number 9 says, therefore, therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not to be. These things ought not to be. We see here an application here. We see who we are. As a human being today, We have two, as a born-again child of God, I should say, we have two natures. We have an old nature, and we have a new nature. We're divided, so to speak. We're born with a nature that can do nothing right. Amen? This flesh cannot do anything right. We're born with that. We all have that nature. We also see that if we've been born again, we have a nature that can do nothing wrong. Can't do nothing wrong. The Spirit of God in us will not sin. He cannot sin. And therefore, we find here that all our conduct and conversation comes from either one or two, from the flesh or from the Spirit. Everything comes out of my mouth. It comes either from my flesh or from the Spirit that lives within me. Everything that we say. We either show forth the works of the flesh when we speak, or either we show forth the fruit of the Spirit when we speak from our mouth. So we see this is very important here. Turn to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7, look at verse 18. I certainly can identify with this, and I'm sure you can too. Romans 7 and verse 18, Paul says, "For I know that is in me, that is in my what? Flesh. Notice, dwelleth no good thing." Amen? "In my flesh dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me." I desire to do good, don't you? I always desire to do good. "But how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do." That I do. "Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that doeth, but sin that dwelleth in me," my nature. Okay? "I find in a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me." When I would do good, sometimes evil is present with me. Therefore, we wrestle with this thing all the time. The tongue does not have a life of its own. The tongue does not have a life of its own. We see here, it is controlled by the flesh or either by the indwelling Spirit of God. The tongue will not move unless you move it, okay? It will not speak unless you use it to speak. And therefore, it is controlled by our flesh or by God's Spirit that is in me to say what I want to say and what I need to say. So it does not have a life of its own. It can, and also, we cannot control both at the same time. One is going to speak at the time, either the flesh or the Spirit coming from our tongue. Both do not speak at the same time. It does not happen. So we see here how important the tongue is. The tongue is. We also see it today also, if the flesh is reigning, what comes from us is bitterness, anger, all kinds of things that should not come from us when the tongue is in control, when the flesh is in control, you see. If the Holy Spirit is on the throne, then from us is going to come flow rivers of living water that is goodness and kindness. Turn to John chapter 7. John chapter 7. Look at verse 37. John 7, look at verse 37. Jesus says this. John 7, verse 37. "In the last days, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come after me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believed on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." Those rivers are flowing of living water is coming from the Spirit of God within you and within me when we speak, you see. It's not the flesh speaking. It's the Spirit of God that speaks through us, to us, and to other people, you see. We have been created in God's image. Why? To bring glory to Him. To bring glory to Him. Therefore, we must control the tongue by His help. We see, yet because of sin, we have a mixture of good and bad. Good and bad. We have the flesh and we have the Spirit. Therefore, it can come from us as a fountain. Then we know that from a fountain cannot come bitter and sweet, right? But we know from our tongue, from us, because of our nature, who we are, we can speak bitterness and we can be good kind because of our nature that we have, you see. We see our tongue betrays us sometimes by expressing a blessing or even a cursing sometimes. May God help us to realize the tongue, the power that's in the tongue. The tongue is a small thing, but yet it's so important in our lives today. If we could tame our tongue, we would be perfect. But that's impossible as far as being perfect. But we need to ask God to help us control our tongue in this body that we live, that we might glorify Him in everything that we say, everything that we do, you know. We also see that all evil comes from Satan. And it seems like today Satan has control of a lot of people's tongues. Amen? You hear it all the time, and so do I. And may God help us to realize that God wants to help us to control our tongue. Our faith would help us to control our tongue if we trust God. Our faith is a strong thing, folks. Our faith is powerful. And faith in God can help us to do things that we cannot do ourselves. We can't do it ourselves, but God enables us by His power and through our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We see here Jesus teaches us. He teaches us many things. Look back in chapter 1 of James. Look at verse 16. Look what James teaches us. He teaches us that the source of good and helps in every situation, there is help. Verse 16, the Bible says, James 1:16, do not err, my brethren, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Notice verse 18. Of His own will begot He us with the word of what? Truth. With the word of truth, He says, that we should be a kind of first fruits, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. So we see here that Jesus has given us the source to help us to be what we ought to be and what He wants us to be. So we see here also, Jesus teaches us, in verse chapter 1, verse number 5, look back there, Jesus also teaches us here through James. James 1, verse 5, He says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. He's promised us to give us wisdom. He's promised us good and help in every situation in our life. I'm so glad today that we are not alone in this world, that the Spirit of God indwells us and gives us that we need, the source that we need to help control the tongue that God has given us. God is perfect, is it not? Would you not agree with that? God is perfect. He's perfect in all things. He alone can control our tongue if we ask Him to help us. Every good and perfect gift comes from Him above. Every good gift comes from God above. What a privilege it is to know that the good things in life that I have come from God. They all come from God. They really do. I spoke with a man this past week. He's 89 years old. He's in rehab here in Clayton. Him and his wife just celebrated last month their 65th wedding anniversary. And I began to talk to him, and he began to tell me what problems he was dealing with in his life. But the main thing I found about that man, he was a born-again child of God. He moved down here from, I think he said, New Jersey 4 or 5 years ago. His sister, his daughter, asked him and his wife too because of their health problems, and they're living with them, taking care of them. But it's a blessing to me just to be able to talk to him and realize that he told me about it. He used to teach Sunday school. He was, you know, in the choir. He was all this kind of stuff. What a great man he was. But it was a blessing to be able to find someone that's openly sharing with you about Christ, even in their affliction. You know, they're thankful that they're back where they have been, what God has done with them and through them in their life. And so it's a joy sometimes to meet people like that. But every good and perfect gift come from God above. Again, I say this. He is the only one that can control our tongue. God, we ask Him for help. Ask Him to help. Someone said, be sure that your mind is engaged before your tongue starts wagging. Be careful what you say you're going to say before you say it. It's very important. Sometimes we are not thinking about what we're saying. We just say it, and that's not good. Our need today is to be possessed by the Holy Spirit, be filled with the Holy Spirit and controlled by the Holy Spirit, that because we know that he helps us to forgive sins. We have the power of the Holy Spirit to control our tongue, and we need to totally belong to him. Totally belong to him. We have the illustrations here today of the power of the tongue. The power of the tongue. We see the power to direct in verse 3 and 4 by the bits in the horse's mouth, the tongue. We see the power to direct. We also see the power to destroy from the tongue. We see the fire and also the power to delight from the tongue. We see the fruit, the fountain, and the tree. Tree of life and the fountain of water, you see. So we see faith controls the tongue. Faith controls the tongue. You know, it'd be good if we could control the tongue. We need to strive to control the tongue. To where if we had a talking bird in our house, that we would not hesitate to sell him to the town gossip. In other words, not be ashamed of anything we say, because the birds, you know, he picks up on everything. And he could say some things to somebody else about you that you wouldn't want him to know, right? And may God help us to control our tongue. Control our tongue. It's very, very important. These need to be, the tongue needs to be bridled. The tongue needs to be bridled. It needs to be controlled. Again, the most dangerous weapon in the world is our tongue. Is our tongue. You know, we sing the little song in Sunday school years ago. Be careful, little feet, where you take me to. Be careful, little hands, what you do. And also be careful, mouth, what you say. You know, because it's so important. It's so important today, folks, that we be careful. Our conversation should be sweet. Our conversation should be like a flowing fountain from on high, from God, because he gives us what we need to say. We have the Word of God, folks. I'm thankful today that James gives us instruction here as his people. He's trying to encourage us to have control of our tongue, and we can all do that by God's help. By God's help. You know, we all, sometimes, we need to be careful, more careful what we say. Be careful what we say in front of anybody, no matter who it is. Because they look at you and they look at me, and again, our tongue is our badge. It identifies us, who we are, what we are. And may the Lord help us today as we go forth from this day forward, asking him to help us. Aren't you glad today to know? The Bible says, Jesus says, without me, you can do what? Nothing. You can do nothing. Aren't you glad today that God has ordained it and designed it this way? To help us to be reminded every day, I'm not going to be what I could be or what I ought to be unless he helps me. And I need his help in my life every day. May God help us. Father, thank you today for your word. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, the example for us, Lord, that we might learn from him, Lord. Certainly he was the perfect man. We know we'll never be perfect, God. But Lord, we know we want to be more like him every day. And God, I just pray you'd enable us to be that way as we search the scriptures, as we read and we study. And God, that we ask the Holy Spirit to give us wisdom and give us direction, Lord, every day in what we do, where we go, and what we say. Father, thank you for being our helper. Thank you for living within us, Lord, again, to encourage us to walk the way you want us to walk, to speak the way you want us to speak, dear God. Have your will and way now in the rest of the services today. May someone be saved. May your children be encouraged from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.